Pop waited behind the board fence, looking at the Delavans through a knothole. He had put his tobacco in his back pocket so that his hands would be free to clench and unclench, clench and unclench. "You're on my property," his mind whispered at them, and if his mind had had the power to kill, he would have reached out with it and struck them both dead. "You're on my property, goddammit. You're on my property." What he ought to do was to go get old John Law and bring him down on their fancy Castle View heads. That was what he ought to do. And he would have done it, too, right then, if they hadn't been standing over the wreckage of the camera the boy himself had supposedly destroyed with Pop's blessing 2 weeks ago. He thought maybe he would have tried to bullshit his way through anyway, but he knew how they felt about him in this town. Pangborn, Keaton, all the rest of them. Trash. That's what they thought of him, trash. Until they got their asses in a crack and needed a fast loan and the sun was down, that was. Clench, unclench, clench, unclench. They were talking, but Pop didn't bother listening to what they were saying. His mind was a fuming forge. Now the litany had become, "They're on my goddamn property, and I can't do a thing about it. They're on my goddamn property, and I can't do a thing about it. Goddamn them. Goddamn them." At last they left. When he heard the rusty screech of the gate in the alley, Pop used his key on the one in the board fence. He slipped through and ran across the yard to his back door. Ran with an unsettling fleetness for a man of 70, with one hand clapped firmly against his upper right leg, as if, fleet or not, he was fighting a bad rheumatism pain there. In fact, Pop was feeling no pain at all. He didn't want either his keys or the change in his purse jingling, that was all, in case the Delavans were still there, lurking just beyond where he could see. Pop wouldn't have been surprised if they were doing just that. When you're dealing with skunks, you expect them to get up to stinking didos. He slipped his keys out of his pocket. Now they rattled, and although the sound was muted, it seemed very loud to him. He cut his eyes to the left for a moment, sure he would see the brat's staring sheep's face. Pop's mouth was set in a hard, strained grin of fear. There was no one there. Yet, anyway. He found the right key, slipped it into the lock, and went in. He was careful not to open the door to the shed too wide, because the hinges picked up the squeal when you exercised them too much. Inside, he turned the thumb bolt with a savage twist, and then went into the Emporium Galorium. He was more than at home in these shadows. He could have negotiated the narrow, junk-lined corridors in his sleep, had, in fact, although that, like a good many other things, had slipped his mind for the time being. There was a dirty little side window near the front of the store that looked out upon the narrow alleyway the Delavans had used to trespass their way into his backyard. It also gave a sharply angled view on the sidewalk and part of the town common. Pop slipped up to this window between piles of useless, valueless magazines that breathed their dusty yellow museum scent into the dark air. He looked out into the alley and saw it empty. He looked to the right and saw the Delavans, wavery as fish in an aquarium, through this dirty flawed glass crossing the common just below the bandstand. He didn't watch them out of sight in this window, or go to the front windows to get a better angle on them. He guessed they were going over to Laverdier's, and since they had already been there, they would be asking about him. What could the little counter-slut tell them? That he had been and gone? Anything else? Only that he had bought 2 pouches of tobacco. Pop smiled. That wasn't likely to hang him. He found a brown bag, went out back, started for the chopping block, considered, then went to the gate in the alleyway instead. Careless once didn't mean a body had to be careless again. After the gate was locked, he took his bag to the chopping block and picked up the pieces of shattered Polaroid camera. He worked as fast as he could, but he took time enough to be thorough. He picked up everything but little shards and splinters that could be seen as no more than anonymous litter. A police lab investigating unit would probably be able to ID some of the stuff left around. Pop had seen TV crime shows when he wasn't watching X-rated movies on the VCR, that was. where those scientific fellows went over the scene of a crime with little brushes and vacuums and even pairs of tweezers, putting things in little plastic bags. But the Castle Rock Sheriff's Department didn't have one of those units, and Pop doubted if Sheriff Pangborn could talk the state police into sending their crime wagon, even if Pangborn himself could be persuaded to make the effort. Not for what was no more than a case of a camera theft, and that was all the Delavans could accuse him of without sounding crazy. Once he had policed the area, he went back inside, unlocked his special drawer, and deposited the brown bag inside. He relocked the drawer and put the keys back in his pocket. That was all right, then. He knew all about search warrants, too. It would be a snowy day in hell before the Delavans could get Pangborn into district court to ask for one of those. Even if he was crazy enough to try, the remains of the goddamn camera would be gone permanently, long before they could turn the trick. To try and dispose of the pieces for good right now would be more dangerous than leaving them in the locked drawer. The Delavans would come back and catch him right in the middle of it. Best to wait, because they would be back. Pop Merrill knew that as well as he knew his own name. Later, perhaps after all this hoorah and foolishment died down, he would be able to go to the boy and say, "Yes, that's right. Everything you think I did, I did. Now why don't we just leave her alone and go back to not knowing each other, all right? We can afford to do that. You might not think so, at least not at first, but we can. Because look, you wanted to bust it up because you thought it was dangerous, and I wanted to sell it because I thought it was valuable. Turned out you was right and I was wrong. That's all the revenge you're ever going to need. If you knew me better, you'd know why. There ain't many men in this town that have ever heard me say such a thing. It sticks in my gut, is what I mean to say. But that don't matter. When I'm wrong, I like to think I'm big enough to own up to it, no matter how bad it hurts. In the end, boy, I did what you meant to do in the first place. We all came out on the same street, is what I mean to say, and I think we ought to let bygones be bygones. I know what you think of me, and I know what I think of you, and neither of us would ever vote for the other one to be Grand Marshal in the annual 4th of July parade. But that's all right. We can live with that, can't we? What I mean to say is just this. We're both glad that goddamn camera is gone. So let's call it quits and walk away." But that was for later. And even then it was only perhaps. It wouldn't do for right now, that was for sure. They would need time to cool down. Right now, both of them would be raring to tear a chunk out of his ass, like the dog in that picture. Like... well, never mind what they'd be like. The important thing was to be down here, business as usual, and as innocent as a goddamn baby when they got back. Because they would be back. But that was all right. It was all right because... "Because things are under control," Pop whispered. "That's what I mean to say." He did go to the front door and switched the closed sign over to open. He then turned it promptly back to closed again, but this Pop did not observe himself doing, nor would he ever remember it later. All right, that was a start. What was next? Make it look like just another normal day. No more, no less. He had to be all surprise and, "What in the tarnation are you talking about?" when they came back with steam coming out of their collars, all ready to do or die for what had already been killed just as dead as sheep dip. So, what was the most normal thing they could find him doing when they came back, with Sheriff Pangborn or without him? Pop's eye fixed on the cuckoo clock, hanging from the beam beside that nice bureau he'd gotten at an estate sale in Sebago a month or 6 weeks ago. Not a very nice cuckoo clock. Probably one originally purchased with trading stamps by some soul trying to be thrifty. People who could only try to be thrifty were, in Pop's estimation, poor, puzzled souls who drifted through life in a vague and constant state of disappointment. Still, if he could put it right so it would run a little, he could maybe sell it to one of the skiers who would be up in another month or two, somebody who needed a clock at their cottage or ski lodge because the last bargain had up and died, and who didn't understand yet, and probably never would, that another bargain wasn't the solution, but the problem. Pop would feel sorry for that person, and would dicker with him or her as fairly as he thought he could, but he wouldn't disappoint the buyer. Caveat emperor was not only what he meant to say, but often did say, and he had a living to make, didn't he? Yes. So he would just sit back there at his work table and fuss around with that clock, see if he could get it running, and when the Delavans got back, that was what they would find him doing. Maybe there'd even be a few prospective customers browsing around by then. He could hope, although this was always a slack time of year. Customers would be icing on the cake anyway. The important thing was how it would look. Just a fellow with nothing to hide, going through the ordinary motions and ordinary rhythms of his ordinary day. Pop went over to the beam and took the cuckoo clock down, being careful not to tangle up the counterweights. He carried it back to his work table, humming a little. He set it down, then felt his back pocket. Fresh tobacco. That was good, too. Pop thought he would have himself a little pipe while he worked.